Again. Well, I've got good news and even more good news. After worship today, Kenneth Garrett is going to be baptized, and then after he's baptized and we get him dry and get him back out here, I'm going to marry him in Ganesha Crawford, and so we'll have a baptism and a wedding too. And so it's all right to spontaneously clap, I would guess. I think that's just fine. They have a wonderful story. I told them the other night that they're the very reason that I do the stuff that I do. They were homeless for 2 years. They've been together for 6 years. They've now found the Lord, and they want to do things right and go straight. And that's the way that you do it. You become a Christian and have your sins washed away and begin a brand new life and put your faith and trust in Christ and you stop living together and get married. So isn't that wonderful? We want to remember our widow's sister Stephanie Vaughn and Freddie's daughter Jada and sister Nancy Chapman. Both of them have lost their husbands recently. Our heart goes out to you, and our prayers are with you each and every day. We love you, and you're a rock to us and holding up as well as you are. Brother David Hatters is still in a brain coma. He was wounded and shot in the brain in Afghanistan. Want to pray for him. Kyra Pinnock had a baby girl named Joy. Santana, Kyra Pinnock Santana, had a baby girl named Joy Santana who was recently born. She's a master sergeant in the Air Force and in Japan and a supporter of ours, and she listens to us on the internet. I want to pray for her. Fail Davis had a heart attack surgery in prison. I want to pray for him and pray that he gets released soon. Sister Kara Spencer, I visited her yesterday at ICU. She's really in critical condition. I've seen a lot of people in ICU, but I'm telling you, she had more bags hanging on her than what I've seen in a long time of everything in the world they're doing to her. And so she's very critical. Her husband, CB, is trying to get through all of this and is really a faithful husband and sitting there by her, and so we want to pray for them. Herb and Mary Trout are in their new home in Edmond, Oklahoma, where they had their home in Moore, was blown away. I want to remember Arthur Bigger's brother, Marshall Bigger. They amputated part of his leg this past week, and they've got to go back and amputate some more. And he's in a veterans hospital, and we want to pray for him. David and Patsy Nutt, I think you'll remember them. They came here from Tennessee and visited with us for a long time while they were here doing some work. He is sick and unable to work now, and we want to pray for them. Paul Lockman is in India, our missionary to India. We want to remember him in our prayers. Sister Helen McGee has graduated from the nursing home. She's now back home, and Billy's got her here this morning, and we're thank God that God spared her, and she is doing better. David Daniel, a missionary in India, has diabetes and kidney failure. I want to remember him. Larry McClendon has eye surgery coming up, and David Butler fell and broke his hip, and he cracked it. And he's here with us today. So you can be sick at church just like you can be sick at home. So y'all come on. Let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank you, Father, for your great love and your mercy. And we thank you for Jesus and him crucified. We thank you for this church and this congregation of thy people. And we thank you for your church throughout the world. We pray that you be merciful and kind and patient with us, Father, and forgive us of our many sins. We confess that we fail you each and every day. We fail to do the things that we ought to do, and we often do the things that we shouldn't. We pray that you have mercy, and please forgive us and help us and guide us and direct us and help us to be more like Christ every day. Father, we pray for all our sick and shut-ins that we've named. We pray that you help them and spare them and help them and raise them up, surround them with your angels, keep them safe from all harm, heal them and heal our bodies, Father. And we pray that you help the doctors and the nurses and all those that are tending to them, that they might know the very right thing to do, that they might be raised up from their sick bed. They might come and serve thee, the one and only true God in Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you, Father, for our radio ministry and our internet ministry that goes out to all the world. We're thankful that the responses that we're getting. Thank you for our radio that goes out to everywhere, and we pray that we might be able to add those places that we're missing and that we might be able to complete the great commission that you've given to us to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We thank you, Father, for the ability to feed the poor and the homeless that we do here, and we pray that you bless us and bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes. We pray thee in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. We'd especially like to welcome Radio North Texas, Radio Oklahoma City, Radio Searcy, Arkansas. It's, in fact, we're on three stations simulcasting in Arkansas that covers most of Arkansas. Radio Nashville that goes out to all of Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama. And, of course, Worldwide Christian Radio that covers most of the United States, Canada, Alaska, Central America, Mexico, South America, all of Africa, all of Europe, Eastern Europe, Ukraine, Russia, all the Middle East, all the Arab countries. We have advice for brethren that worship under the boot of Mohammedanism. We'd advise you, those of you that are taking the Lord's Supper, I noticed that on the news that they're giving 60 lashes to everyone in Iran who takes wine with the Lord's Supper, so we'd encourage you to take fruit of the vine, take plate and grape juice that's non-fermented, and it'll be just as scriptural, and we'd encourage you to do that and save yourself those 60 lashes if you possibly can. But if you have to suffer them, we're going to be praying for you. Every once in a while, Brother John Scott sent me an email this week, and he mentioned he works in Christian Care Center and people at the very end of their lives out there. And he said every once in a while we need to be reminded of the reality of death every now and then. Everyone we know will either pass on or pass away, and it's true. Our acquaintances, our associations, our friends, our family members, none of them possess a permanent place in our lives. And there's only one relationship that's an exception to this rule, and that is our relationship with the Lord. He's the only person of whom we can say, I will call upon him as long as I live. Everyone else will eventually move on, but not God. He's not going anywhere. The Lord is the only constant. And so I would encourage you to make God your constant in this life. I have great news for you about our internet. And thank you, Stephanie, for even conceiving of that. We've got almost 90,000 hits this month. And we've got over 700 million kbytes, which is 100 million more. We've got almost 800 million, which is 100 million more than we've ever had. That's somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 sermons have already been downloaded on the internet this month. It's a wonderful thing. We're going to be studying this morning, picking up where we left last week, in our study of the coming of Christ in power and glory. We in the Churches of Christ understand this event to be one event, not an event in which there is a secret rapture and then 7 years later, after a great tribulation, the Lord comes again. But I'll tell you something right now. I don't care where I spend my first 1,000 years with the Lord. Doesn't matter to me as long as I'm with the Lord. And I'm sure that when I get there, he's going to tell me, Kelly, we're not going to run this outfit exactly like you had in mind. So I don't think that I'm perfect, and I don't think that I have all knowledge, but I'm just going to try to teach you the Bible as I understand it, and I hope that you'll learn it and learn the Bible. And there's room for opinion. There's some things that there isn't room for opinion about. There isn't room for opinion on whether Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There isn't room for opinion on is there a God and was there evolution and things of this nature. But there are things that are a matter of doctrine there's room for opinion. In Hebrews 9:27-28, it says it is appointed to men once tonight to die, and after this the judgment. So you're going to be judged by Christ, and Christ is the judge of the universe. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. So it's important that you look for him, because one of two ways you're going to face the judgment. And in either way, Christ is going to come in power and glory. If you die today, you're going to go face Christ immediately. You're going to find yourself naked, standing before God with Christ at his right hand. And Christ is going to either speak for you or he's going to say, I don't know you. And so you're either going up or down spiritually. Now, in the future, at some point, God is going to say, I've had enough of that down there, and he's going to send Christ back in power and glory. That's what verse 28 says. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus spoke earlier in his ministry in John chapter 5 about the resurrection of the dead in judgment, John 5, verse 21, beginning in verse 21. So this word for, it's going to be used in 21 and 22, explaining where Christ gets the power to do these things. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickens who he wills. So he gets the power from the Father. The Father is the fountain of all life and can restore life to the dead. The Son possesses the same power. John 5:22. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. And so these are the proof verses of Jesus' exaltation. He is the Son of God and is going to do all the judging. John 5:23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Because the Son speaks the words and does the works of the Father, he therefore is the manifestation of the Father. You want to know what God is like? He's just exactly like Jesus. 5:24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. The conditions of eternal life are knowledge of the revelation of the Son of God, a belief in that revelation as to cause its acceptance, and our coming to him in the appointed way, in the appointed fashion, and how he's called us. John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. Jesus said this about 26-27 A.D., the hour now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So the question here, is this the dead in the grave, or is it the spiritual dead? I believe that this verse is referring to the spiritual dead. Primarily the reference here is to the spiritual dead. They shall hear the voice of the Son, and that voice will give them eternal life. And so there were people that heard the voice, the preaching, the teaching of Christ, and they came to believe on him, and that gave them eternal life. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. The Son is the fountain of life and the fountain of living waters. Verse 27, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. God has made him to judge, the judge of mankind, and because he took on human body, he is well suited to be a judge of us, as the Hebrew writer says, for since the children, you and I, were partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus took on flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. John 5, verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all they that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Separate subject, there's going to be a resurrection of the dead at the end of time. What marvel is it that he should give spiritual life to those that are dead in their sins, when even those in the grave shall come forth at his command? Jesus is able to give spiritual life to those that are living, and he's able to bring forth the dead from the grave. And shall, verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. The judgment of Son is based upon perfect knowledge. Jesus knows my heart, he knows your heart, he knows everything about us, and he'll make a perfect judgment, and he'll do the will of the Father. Jesus' own will is merged into the will of the Father. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we're taught, for we must all appear before the judgment seat, and that word there is bema, the bema, the base, the footstep, the rostrum, the tribunal. It's just like a tribunal, like a trial. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in his body, according as he has done, whether it be good or bad. Well, that's good news and bad news. If you hadn't come to Christ in the appointed fashion, you're going to get what you got coming. And I don't want to get what I got coming. I want mercy, I want grace, I don't want justice. I want to slip and slide out of this deal. I want to get out of jail free card. And I've got it. And I'm telling you, I'm going to keep it. And it's called the faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the thing that's going to save me. And he's going to save me from the devil, from sin, and from myself. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. What is it gonna be like at the end of time when Christ comes again? It's gonna be just like that. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. The sheep are gentle and they're tame, and the goats are quarrelsome and they stink. And it's a whole lot different. And Jesus is able to divide them. He can see them, and he knows their heart, and he knows them immediately whether he is or not. And he just divides them, just like a shepherd takes his staff and divides sheep from goats. He can do that immediately, and that's exactly what he's going to do at the end of time. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, a place of eminence, but the goats on his left, that's a place of rejection. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." That's not what you do to be saved. That's what the saved do. There's a big difference. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, if we could turn there, please. It says, "By grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, what is the gift of God there? Any Greek student will tell you that it's salvation, because the article "the" is used before faith. It's not that we're saved by grace are you saved through faith. It's by grace are you saved through the faith, through the gospel, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a gift of God too. So it's all a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and God gave us his word. So that's a gift of God. And grace is unmerited favor with God. And so that is a gift of God. It's all a gift of God. Every bit of it's a gift of God. But the subject is salvation there. So we can't work, we can't earn, and we can't merit our salvation. But let's look at these verses again. "For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in." From the very beginning, this church has been dedicated to two things: preaching the gospel to the whole wide world and feeding the poor. We first began across the street over there feeding, and we were feeding about 50 meals a week on Sunday only. And now we're up to feeding almost 3,000 a week. Everything from coffee and donuts to breakfast burritos to lunches to sandwiches to soup to bologna sandwiches, we feed all the time. We feed the homeless and the poor and those that are down and out. These verses sound exactly like Main Street Church of Christ, doesn't it? Yeah. "So I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink." Larry and John down there every day putting ice in that bucket and letting people have a cold drink of water in the winter. And warm coffee in the winter and cold water in the summer. "I was a stranger and you took me in." We give out clothes all the time. "Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me." We've got three hospital chaplains here, Bernie, Martha Woods, and Vicky. And me, I'm not a hospital chaplain, but I still went and visited. And I went and visited yesterday with our sister in the hospital. "I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison." We have a jail chaplaincy program here. We have taught and baptized almost 900 this year already. Last year we taught and baptized 900, so we're going to break probably 1,000 this year. Now, isn't that wonderful? And it's all done, all volunteers. Nobody gets paid. It's all volunteers, from the feeding of the poor to the preaching of the gospel to the whole wide world, to the hospital work, to the jail work. It's all done by volunteers. "I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." "And then shall a righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, and thirsty and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee?" Verse 39. "And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as that you've done it unto one of these, the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So every time you give a drink of water down there, if that person turns out someday to be a Christian, a brethren, then it's just like giving a drink of water to Jesus. And you'll in no wise lose your reward, Larry and John and all you guys that work down there. God's going to remember every bit of the sweat and every bit of the stuff that you do. Then he shall say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Notice how long the fire is. It's just as long as heaven is. It's everlasting. It's everlasting heaven, and it's everlasting fire. Into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Isn't that wonderful news? God never made hell for you and me. He made it for Slewfoot. That's who he wants to put in there. Now, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God don't want to put nobody in there with him. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, but the truth of the matter is, there's going to be a lot of people falling there. And I hope that y'all don't do it. I'm not going to, but I hope y'all don't either. So hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, verse 42. Why? Well, we're going to see here that just like there are good works, there are sins of omission. People have an opportunity to give a bite of food to a hungry person and they don't do it. They have an opportunity to give a drink to a thirsty person and they don't do it. I was at the White Rock Fund Saturday a week ago. And generally speaking, we in the Churches of Christ are opposed to missionary societies. And the reason for it is that all the money that's gathered up goes to pay the big fat cats that run it. And they all drive Cadillacs, and they get to drive all over the country and fly all over everywhere and everything. All the money's spent on the big shots, and nothing's spent on India, nothing's spent on Africa, nothing's spent on where the mission ought to be. And so generally speaking, we're opposed to that, but White Rock Fund is one that's different. Every penny of the money that goes in that fund goes to foreign missions. And they were showing a picture of the Sudan, and when the Muslims had run out of the Sudan, had run people out of there, Christians out of there, and had killed so many of them, they were showing pictures, and there was a little bitty girl that she must have been maybe 2 years old. She couldn't have been over three. A little bitty black kid from Sudan, and she didn't weigh hardly. She had no skin. She was just skin and bones. And she was trying to make it to a feeding station, and she got almost there, and she couldn't take another step, and she just bent over. She was bent over double. She was just bent over, and in the picture behind her, sitting right behind her, was a buzzard. And the guy that took the picture said, as I saw this, I couldn't help but cry. And went over and he run the buzzard off and carried the kid to the feeding station. Who knows whether she's alive now or not, or whether she made it, because so many didn't. And there are people all over the earth that are starving to death. Every time Paul goes to India, we give him $100 and he buys sacks and sacks and sacks of rice. He sent us a picture last time that was, it looked like a pallet of rice that you can buy for $100. $100 American in India is like 10,000 Indian dollars. And so you can buy all kinds of things. You got $101 bills over. And so there's going to be people, because of sins of omission, they had an opportunity to do good and didn't do it. And that became a sin. For I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in, naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not, sin of omission, you have the opportunity to do right. You got plenty of money in your pockets, you fat cat. You got plenty of money in your pocket and you have an opportunity to do right and you harden your heart and don't do it. Inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. And so here's a great picture of what the judgment is going to be like. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. Call us at 214-821-2123. Be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and fair to Midland gospel preaching on there. There's 1,000 sermons on there you can go on there and listen to. And there's all kinds of a cappella singing albums. There's one album on there that's got 35 a cappella songs on it. All kinds of great singing. And most of the singing is taken from year-end singing. It's got 1,000 people singing, so I'd encourage you to go on that site. And there's all kinds of written lessons you can download, teach Sunday school, run copies. Freely you got it, freely give it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. What is the coming of Christ going to be like? Well, we know from Matthew chapter 25 there that when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all His holy angels with Him. So we know what that's going to kind of be like. We know what the judgment's going to be like, separating sheep from goats. But let's get another picture of it here from Paul from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, some people mistakenly refer to this as a rapture. Now, there's no such word as rapture found in the Bible. Either in Greek, English, in any language, there's no such concept found in the Bible. The idea of the rapture is that, in fact, the doctrine developed in 1800 from a person who was on their sickbed, and they decided that the Lord was going to come in 1844, and so, but they'd be 7 years of great tribulation first, and that the Lord was going to rapture His church out of the world in 1837. And so this rapture didn't happen, and you have to ask yourself, why would God do something like that? Why would He do something like that and not tell us about it in His Word, especially when He tells us what His coming is going to be like? But why would He do something like that if the church ever deserved to go through punishment? Today's church deserves to go through punishment because this is the weakest church that ever was. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, those that are dead, that you sorrow not either as others that have no hope. The Gentiles, they carried on after a person died, and they wailed and they moaned and they cut themselves and they carried on because there was no hope for ever seeing that person in the future. Stephanie knows better than that. She knows she's going to see Fred. She knows that. People who are Christians have a glorious hope that we'll see our dead. I know that I'll see my mom and daddy someday. I have a hope. We have a better hope. It's based on better promises. And so Paul tells the church in Thessalonica that because some people have died, doesn't mean that you don't have any hope. Don't sorrow not as the Gentiles that have no hope. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, those that are dead, that you sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even though them also which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with Him. So when Christ comes back, when a person dies, their body goes to the ground. That word Sheol in the Greek, their body goes to the ground. It's commonly translated as the pit and sometimes hell, but it just simply means to the grave. Their body goes to the ground, but their spirit and their soul goes to be with the Lord. Now, when the Lord comes back, He's going to bring those souls with Him Turn with me to Jude, the book of Jude. Jude, verse 14. That's the book just in front of the book of Revelation. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Notice that has an S after it. It's not literal. It's 10,000 on 10,000. It's an innumerable company. When the Lord comes back, he's going to bring the disembodied souls of all of those saints who've died from Adam all the way forward, everybody who before the cross trusted in the coming of the Messiah, and since the cross have trusted in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All those people are going to be saved by faith. All of those who looked in forward in faith to the coming of Christ, all of those who looked back in faith to the works of Christ on the death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, God is going to send the souls of those with Jesus when he comes back. Verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, he's the seventh patriarch from Adam, before the flood, before Noah, prophesied of these sayings, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. What's he coming for? To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. All these people that are atheists today, it's a big deal to be atheist today. They all stand up and make hard speeches against God. There's no such thing as God. There's no heaven, no hell. Just live like you want and live life to the utmost, because there's no rewards and no punishment. All these people who believe this stuff are going to have to give an account someday. Back for again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's going to bring the souls back with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is God has specifically told him this. This isn't something that he just has a feeling about or something. This is specific revelation. God has given him a specific revelation that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, there'll still be Christians in the world, and the Lord is going to come back at some point in time. So we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That word prevent there means go first. Christians won't go to heaven first. The dead in Christ will go to heaven first. They have first place in the resurrection. We have second place in the resurrection. Christians that are dead have first place in the resurrection. God brings the souls of the dead back with them. He raises their bodies in a glorified form. Their bodies are going to be like Jesus when he was raised from the dead. That's what we refer to as a glorified body. We don't understand it. We don't know how it works. We know that he materialized. It was like he just beamed me down, Scotty, and he was right there in the room with them. But he could eat with them. He said, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of fish and of honeycomb, and he did eat before them. And he said, touch me, feel me, for a spirit hath not flesh and blood as you see as I have. So he had a resurrected, glorified body. And when God brings the souls of the dead back, he's going to raise their bodies again and going to reunite their souls with their bodies. And they're going to be like Christ was, in a glorified body. We'll play kick the can down the road, Helen, and we'll have a great time. you be young again, and all the good things that we think about and hope about, that's all what the future holds for us. We which are alive remain the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. Go first before them that are asleep, dead. They're going to get first place in the resurrection. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Now the Jews believed in the trump of God as a judgment day. And they believed in seven trumps, and each one from the first blast getting an octave higher, and higher, and higher, and higher, and louder, and louder, and louder. And so this last trump, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So the first order of the resurrection is the dead in Christ. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Clouds are used as a metaphor in the Bible as the regions above the earth. Now into chapter 5, there was no such thing in the original Bible as chapter and verse division, so chapter 5 just follows right on along here with it. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. We don't know when the thief comes, do we? If we knew when the thief comes, we'd be sitting up waiting for him. We'd have a trap laid for him. So in other words, it's going to be a surprise when the Lord comes. People are not going to be looking for it. Is it going to be like the destruction of Jerusalem? Well, maybe it will be. I'll tell you now about the political things that are going on. Them Jews over there are not ever going to get put back in the gas chamber again. They're not ever going to let that happen. And they got atomic bombs. And them Arabs has got them too. And I'm telling you something, them people in India have got them, and the Pakistanis have got them. And the Chinese have them, and the people in India have them. And the Koreans have them, and the Japs are going to start building them, and so is everybody else around Korea, because they can't depend on the United States and us protecting them anymore. So I'm telling you, the world is going to get even more dangerous than what it is right now today. We live in dangerous times, and so you should be prepared for the Lord to come as a thief in the night. Is there going to be some big battle over around Jerusalem? We don't have any idea. We know that's already happened. Could it happen again? Of course it could happen again. Will it happen again? We don't have any idea. Be ready. Be prepared. Be prepared if he comes today instead of the football game. Be prepared. You don't know whether there's going to be any 3 p.m. kickoff or not. Be prepared. All the time, always be ready, be prepared, because the Lord comes as a thief in the night, and if you walk out of here and you die of a massive heart attack or a stroke, the Lord just came, didn't he? That's one way he could come. Or you could get run over by a bus. Or a robber could shoot you for your wallet and your car keys. Or your cell phone. You could get murdered for your cell phone in this neighborhood. And all other neighborhoods. So always be ready. You never know when the Lord's coming. Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and ye shall not escape. In other words, be always ready. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. The Jews believed that when the Lord came and judgment came to this world, that the Gentiles would be judged during the night and the Jews would be judged during the day. I don't think that's so. But here he's alluding to that. You're all children of the light, and as children of the light, you're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Don't be careless and indifferent. Be on the ball here, because the Lord is going to come soon. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So kind of get your business straight here, guys. It's time to sober up. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love and the helmet and hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath. God doesn't want to spank us. He hadn't appointed us to wrath, but obtaining salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or whether we sleep, whether we should live that we should live together with him. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's see some other great points regarding this judgment that's going to take place in the coming again of Christ. The first thing is the gospel is the first four verses, the greatest verses in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Paul said, I'm going to tell you what the gospel is now. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, and which also you have received, and wherein you stand. You need to receive this gospel, and you need to stand in this gospel. By which also you're saved, if. What does that word, if, mean? What's that word, if, mean? Little bitty word, as big as eternity, that little bitty word is. If you keep in memory that which I preached unto you. What if you don't keep this in memory? What if you forget this? What if you forget this? What if you leave here and you forget what the gospel is? Well, it's going to tell you right after that word, unless, another little word, unless you believed in vain. Now, what does that mean? Is your belief any good if it's in vain? No. Unless you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? Well, the Old Testament Scriptures. Isaiah 53, Psalms 22, Psalms 2, and on and on. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now turn over with me to verse 20 in this 15th chapter. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. The festival to the Jews of first fruits was a festival in which in the early part of summer they brought pieces of the first fruits of what grew, pieces of grain, stalks of grain, stalks of barley, things of that nature. They brought this and they made loaves of bread in the temple, and they offered these in sacrifice to the Lord in the temple. First fruits showed what? It showed that there's a big harvest coming down the road. If this takes place in latter spring, early summer, first fruits, it's like the first ear of corn out of your corn patch. You bring the first ear of corn. You bring the first fruits. Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. He was the first to rise from the dead. And by that, we know that there's going to be a huge harvest in the future of all the rest of us are going to be raised from the dead. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep, that are dead. For since by man, by Adam, that word's Adam in the Greek there, came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. By the second Adam, Jesus, came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So it's important to be in Christ at this resurrection so you can be made alive. But everyone in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Verse 24, then cometh the end of time. There's going to be a time when God says it's enough, it's the end. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the church of Christ. What is the church of Christ? It is the people of Christ, the Christians. All Christians are in the church of Christ. There's no such thing as kinds of Christians. You're either a Christian or you aren't. And if you are a Christian, God has added you to the church. You're a Christian. And so the end comes, and Jesus, then cometh the end when he, Jesus, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. He's going to deliver up the church to God, the people of God, to God. Even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power, he's going to, with the word of his mouth and the breath of his lips, slay the wicked. He's going to put down all power at the end of time. For he must reign seated on the throne at the right hand of God. He must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now, how's he going to do that? Verse 50. Now, this I say unto you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You go to the kingdom of God when the Lord adds you to the church, when you're saved, but inheriting the kingdom of God is what you get when you go to heaven, when you're resurrected from the dead at the end of time, as he's fixing to tell us here now. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Paul had taught that the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven, the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain going to be caught up together and meet the Lord in the air. But we're in our normal bodies. What about them, Lord? Well, here it is. Now this I say, flesh and blood cannot inherit, cannot be caught up together to meet them in the air, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. This is mysterios, a Greek word that means never taught before in Scripture. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so at the end of time, we're going to be changed just like that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to be in our regular bodies up to a certain point, and then immediately after that point, from then on, we're going to be in this glorified new body, and we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So we're going to be changed. Now turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write, as soon after the first is indicated there in the Greek, I write unto you, in which both to stir up your pure minds, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of the apostles and the Lord our Savior, knowing first that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Man, you hear that everywhere. Either on one hand, they've got a date for you. He's going to be here on December 31st, 2012, man. I'm telling you, give me all your money because he's coming December 31st, 2012. No, it's December 22nd, 2012, wasn't it? Well, whatever it was, y'all didn't give me all your money and he didn't come, did he? There's some of them that they're swearing they know exactly when he's coming, because the Bible tells us nobody knows that. And then on the other hand, there's those people that make them great pronouncements and they say, oh, Oh, that's all, that's myth. That's just story. I think that the Word of God is found in the Bible, but I don't think that that's the Word of God. I think that's a word that some men wrote about myths and stories and stuff like that. You find that in the higher educated circles of Christianity. Saying, where is the promise of His coming? Now, Peter's going to tell us what these people who are false teachers are like. First thing is that they deny the second coming of Christ. For since the fathers fell asleep, since the apostles fell asleep, all things continued as it were from the beginning. And so since Adam died and all them other people, everything's continued the same. This they are wiggling ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Peter is saying in Genesis chapter 1 verse 9 that by the word of God, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. They're willingly ignorant of this one thing, that dry land, that the word of God said, let dry land appear, and dry land appeared, and it was one place. And after that, there was a great big flood, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. And that word there in Greek is apollum. It's changed. The world was changed forever after the flood. But the heavens and the earth are now by the same word kept in store. This is contrasted. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So what's going to happen when everybody's caught up together to meet the Lord in the air? Well, there's going to be a day of fire. But beloved, be not ignorant of one thing, and that one day is with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The passing of time has no bearing whatsoever on the threats or the promises of God. God says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that promise is just as good today as it was 2,000 years ago. And the rest of that verse says, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And that promise is just as good today as it was 3,000 years ago. Now, I'm different. I'm not like God. I can say, man, next time I see that guy, I'm going to jump on him. I'm going to bust his head. I'm going to dot his eye. And I get all hot, and I get all pumped up, and I get mad, and I cool off. It's been 3 years since I've seen him. And when I see him, I'm not nearly as mad as I was. God's not like that. God's not fickle like that. The passing of time has nothing to do with the promises or with the threats of God. He's just as strong today as he was 2,000 years ago when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. You can count on it. The passing of time has nothing whatsoever to do with that. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, as we've already studied, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And that word there, as I told you last week, is an onomatopoetic word. And that's one of them $50 words that it means that the sound of it will let you know immediately what's happening. You're going to know that the jig's up the minute you hear that sound. You're going to know it's the end of the world. If you hear this sound, you're going to be hearing the earth tore apart. You're going to know immediately that it's the end of the world, because you're going to hear the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and a great shout, and you're going to hear this enormous noise, and you're going to know immediately that the jig's up. And if you hadn't already repented, you're in deep stuff, I'm telling you right now. You're up to your neck in deep, deep stuff. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you all to be? We ought to be better people than that. Turn with me quickly to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. And I beheld until thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments was as white as snow, and his hair of his head like pure wool, and throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered unto him. Notice it's single thousand and then plural thousands. That's like, again, saying 10,000 times 10,000. It's an innumerable company. It's not literal. Thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And a judgment was set, and the books were opened. Someday the books are going to be open. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead and the great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened. That's the book of life. That's the book I want to see you get written in. I want to see you written in the book of life, in the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the book according to their works. In chapter 21, verse 27. 21, verse 27, we see the same thing. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I want to see you written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, what does that mean? Turn with me to John chapter 12, verse 48. John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day. So what are we going to be judged by? We're going to be judged by the Word of God. The Word of God says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. You need to believe the gospel. You need to believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sins. You need to come marching right down here, down at the front, and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come down here now and become a Christian. If you have sin in your life, you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
One fine bird. have coming this morning, Brother Kenneth Garrett. How long have you been coming here, Kenneth? About a year. You've been homeless for 2 years, and him and his wife have been together for 6 years, and now they want to do it right. He's going to be baptized this morning, and after this, he's going to be married here in just a minute. So, Kenneth, you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord. The Lord Jesus. So, my mother, we're going to baptize you right away. Okay.
Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Rest assured, this troubadour is acting on his part. All the union of your spirits here has caused him to remain. For whenever two or more of you are gathered in his name, there is love. There is love. Well, a man shall leave his mother and a woman leave her home, and they shall travel on to where the two shall be as one. As it was in the beginning, is now until the end. Woman draws her life from man and gives it back again, and there is love. There is love. Well, then, what's to be the reason for becoming man and wife? Is it love that brings you here, or love that brings you life? Or if love...